And welcome back to New Hampshire Today, the weekend edition. Jeff Chittister with you. Don't forget, you can catch my article in the Portsmouth Herald and Seacoast Online and Foster's. No article this week, however, though I appreciate you all the comments from last week's article. I thought you guys was really appreciative on some of the thoughts that I brought up about the primary, and the primary's over. So what the hell do we do in New Hampshire now? Well, we should be doing an awful lot. And one of the things that we should be thinking about, too, is that I try to be careful about when I bring guests on, when we talk about charitable outreach and things that we can do in our community. I like to remind all of you that the time we tend to think about our giving, whether our time or our money, is Thanksgiving and Christmas. Well, guess what? There is a need every single day, every single season. And so I thought we would bring Carrie Norton on. Of course, you guys know Carrie. You've heard her on here before. And I was telling her a little story. So it was, about a year ago, Carrie, I had you on. And I was filling in for Jeff. And of course, I had one of those flipping moments because they woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go ahead and do this. And the whole interview. And I know Carrie. I've known her since Hope on Haven Hill was founded. And I'm calling her Terry. And she's so polite. She's not saying a thing. But our friend, our wonderful friend, Renee Plummer, texts me. And I hear this bing, 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 and I'm like, I'm looking at the phone, and I won't tell you how she said it, because those of you who have heard Renee interview before know that she has a very, very direct way of saying that. But at the end of it, she said, "It's not Terry, it's Carrie." And I'm like, oh my goodness, have I been saying Terry the whole time? So Carrie, how you been?
I am doing really well.
I won't screw it up. And then the last time you were on, Renee says, how could you just ask her out of the blue what her first favorite Christmas song on when you brought her on to talk about Hope on Haven Hill? And she goes, don't put her on the spot like that again. So I'm not going to put you on the spot today.
She's got the perfect direct communication skills. Those are the types of things that we try to teach the women at Hope on Haven Hill. I'll have Renee come in and do a group.
Oh, her and Dan are wonderful. So Hope on Haven Hill, guys, I'm going to give you the internet address as often as I can, hopeonhavenhill.org, hopeonhavenhill.org. And so, Carrie, I can't believe it's only three years. It's a good thing when you said 3 years that since Hope on Haven Hill has been founded, I was like, it had to have been like 5 or 10 years.
Well, it
such
was
an impact.
Founded, it was founded longer than that. We had to fundraise for almost a year and a half. We've been open for 3 years, December 8th, 2016.
It's amazing, though. What a journey. And we'll talk a little bit first about, for people who don't know what Hope on Haven Hill is, I'm surprised. So, but let's make sure we get you up to date. Tell people a little bit about Hope on Haven Hill, how it came about and the first place.
Sure. So Hope on Haven Hill was founded. I'm a nurse. My co-founder was a doctor. We were having increasingly amounts of difficulty getting our patients into a level of care that they needed if they had substance use disorders. And a patient came in to see me in January of 2015, Abby, and she needed to have inpatient treatment, and she was on a wait list, you know, for 6 months before things got so bad. And she was 8 months pregnant in June of 2015, and we finally, like, to get her into this one place was like an act of Congress, yeah, or five acts of Congress.
And you're doing this. You're pulling this along all by yourself, which is amazing.
Well, it was a group of people that did it.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, we decided, when we finally got her in there, I said, you know, does anyone know Oprah, Ellen, or somebody rich? Because we need to do this in our community. We need to do it now. And people were like, yeah. So nobody knew Oprah or Ellen, and we didn't at the time know anybody rich. And so we started fundraising, and we fundraised and raised money, and we opened Hope on Haven Hill on December 8th, 2016. We opened our residential program, which is for 8 women and their babies, which are very cute. We are a high-intensity pregnant and parenting program for substance use disorder, and they in Rochester, New Hampshire. And it's a long-term program, so, you know, it's not just your typical 28-day program. And so right after that, we quickly opened an outpatient program. And then our sweet spot of the organization, our recently opened Abby's Place, which is recovery housing for our graduates and women that need safe, supportive housing.
We're going to talk a little bit about that once again. We're talking to Carrie Norton, of course. Hope on Haven Hill, guys. Go ahead and bookmark this. Hopeonhavenhill.org. Hopeonhavenhill.org. One of the things, too, and we're going to talk a little bit about fundraising, because this is really tough, and I can't stress upon all of our listeners how difficult it is to do fundraising. We think that it's easy. It's not easy. If you've never been part of a fundraising organization, there's a lot of different ways you can participate in it. But one of the things I do want to point out, I know that there's a lot of corporations, a lot of business leaders who listen to this show, and if you haven't done so already, plan out your corporate giving for the year, both in teamwork that possibly can help out, but also in giving. Certainly Hope on Haven Hill is one of my favorite charities to think about. So the residential services was the first place you started, and roughly how many residents are typically in there at any given time?
So in our treatment, in both of our residential programs, it's 8 women and okay. their children. Yep.
Let's talk about the transitional housing service, because mm-hmm. that's, so this is the fascinating thing. A lot of times when you go through these services, and I think, you know, you and I talked about this off the air, the initial service is key. It's the foundation, mm-hmm. but then we set them free. That's almost like a lot of services, and this is where we start seeing failure. Yeah. They're out there on their own, they're free range, mm-hmm. and that's when the difficulties come in. So talk about mm-hmm. how inventive in 3 years you've managed to go into this other service to keep some at least constant contact.
Sure. You know, as a nurse, it's literally not brain science. You know, it is brain science, actually, but like it just makes sense. Like any other chronic disease, we don't just, treat it and then say you're all set and never treat, you know, do any follow-up. So, you know, we quickly opened outpatient because we had to manage our wait list, which we opened with, which was very sad. But, you know, to manage our wait list to offer services, even if it wasn't all that they needed, to offer them some sort of a service. And then our graduates, like, you know, they did amazing, but they still needed follow-up and they still needed a lower level of care. And they needed, you know, the support that they got from our organization was what they needed to have continued, just on a different level. So we opened up outpatient, and that really, really drastically took off. And so we have a very large outpatient program, which we actually just moved into a larger leased facility to be able to care for all of the women that are in our outpatient program.
And Carrie, I mean, I think part of the thing is, and to put the mind of a person who volunteers in such these important efforts, for people who have never volunteered or kind of have loose connections to charities, and I use the charity very politely because it's really much more than that, you don't want to say no, do you?
No, it's really, that's the biggest challenge. So we opened because I was really frustrated with wait lists and trying to get my patients in to, the one place that was doing this. And then I opened with a wait list. And so even with Abby's place, you know, it's, you know, the intention is for our graduates. But then, you know, we have opened it up at times to other women that fit the same criteria.
Sure.
Because it's really hard when you hear this story and that's exactly what she needs and there's nowhere else for her to get that need met. And you want, you know, these strong, brave moms to be successful. So
once again, we're talking to Carrie Norton. Of course, you can find out more by going to Hope on Haven Hill, hopeonhavenhill.org, hopeonhavenhill.org. I think the interesting thing, too, if you get a chance to go over to their Facebook page, it's a great way to keep up with the constant things that they're doing. I love the pictures. I love the gowns and the kind of acknowledgement that you're what a major milestone that these young women are going through. And just mm-hmm. so people are clear, if you didn't get it, we're talking about young women with babies who are also dealing with issues of addiction and certainly those things that life unfortunately delivers on us without any intention, of course. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me when I look at those pictures, it really there is hope is really a huge word as part of this equation.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, the women come in often, you know, without hope or a sliver of hope or borrowing somebody's hope. And this is one of the things that have been tremendous is, you know, we were able to open because of the community and state support mm-hmm. in general. But what happens is, they have been sort of the forgotten people for so long that when they're admitted and they have nothing but what's on their bodies and they watch as within 24 hours we're able to get them the clothes and shoes and everything that they need. And they are like, where does that come from? And it's like, you know, from this person down the street, from this, you know, from this community member, or from this organization that supports our organization. And, you know, I've got, you know, I've got a Moby wrap from, you know, Valerie Sununu that people, you know, carry their baby in, you know, just things like that. And they're like, people care, and they start to believe like people care about them for the first time in maybe forever, or at least a very long time.
And once again, folks, if you want to find out more, go to hopeonhavenhill.org, hopeonhavenhill.org. Okay, let's talk about the service is critical. It's been amazing, like I said, in 3 years, how much you've been able to accomplish. It does. It takes an effort and it takes money. So talk a little bit about how corporations or individuals might be able to help you out.
Sure. So it can be from the very tiniest thing of if they have a skill to share with any of our programs. We love that. It could be a one-time thing. It could be a recurring thing. It could be if you have a $10 Market Basket gift card, that can make all of the difference for so many of our clients. You know, small gift card amounts really are helpful, because when women walk in with nothing and they need a specific, you know, size 8 shoe, you know, I can put it up on Facebook and usually get it. But also, you know, sometimes, you know, it's just, it's amazing to say, we have this donation for you. You need to go get a pair of shoes. Go get them. It also is, you know, spring and fall cleanups. It could be, you know, it could be that when we have snowstorms,
yeah,
you know, helping us shovel out our mailbox or our walkway or the things that, you know, we're just, you know, over budget already because
right.
of the snow this winter. What the heck? But and it could also be, you know, a recurring donation, a one-time donation. It could be, you know, being a mentor or a volunteer. You know, we are lucky. I'm pretty biased, but we have adorable babies. And, you know, we have the best baby cuddlers that come in. And while our women are in the next room in the group, you know, we have volunteers that get to come in and baby cuddle. And it's a pretty good gig, because we've got adorable babies that, you know, you can come in for 2 hours, you know, and get a baby fix.
No. That's funny. So we've actually come to the end of our time. Hope on Haven Hill, hopeonhavenhill.org. Certainly, I want you guys to check them out, hopeonhavenhill.org. Also, as a company, too, and I know a lot of companies out there, and I talk about this with some of the insurance agencies that I help train, a lot of you have referral programs where you say that if you refer a client, I'll give you a $10 gift certificate to Dunkin' Donuts. No. How about something better? How about making an impact? Change your referral program this year to say, if you bring a client that would like to be with us, we're going to give that $10 over to Hope on Haven Hill. And I think that's the impact difference. And the other thing I'm going to explain to you is your clients will appreciate it so much. We are now a world in which giving is so critical, and people acknowledge that by saying, if this company feels comfortable being that charitable within the community, mm-hmm. it's a company I want to work with. So think about that as well. Carrie? Not Terry. Thanks for coming in. And go over to Facebook. Check them out, because if you want to see the most infectious smile, the most awesome smile, Carrie has the most awesome smile ever. Every time I see it, I say, how can anyone say no to this woman? So look, check that out and don't say no. Thanks for coming in, Carrie. Make sure you get a donut.
Thank you so much.
We'll be right back on New Hampshire Today, the weekend edition.
Stop me on the corner. Swear you hit me like a vision. I wasn't expecting. Who am I to tell fate?